is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever.
Forever. Amen. I'm ready. I'm ready. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, we're studying the power of the Spirit. And tonight we're going to finish up, I believe, the rest of the manifestations, the list of the manifestations of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want us all to begin reading from the 7th verse through verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James. So if you have a different translation, of course, you know, as I always say, that's fine. But follow along on the screen so that we don't sound like we're all speaking in different languages and in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through... Are you ready to hear the word tonight?
Yes.
You ready to hear about the power of the Holy Spirit tonight? Aren't you glad we have someone called the Holy Spirit who is not in heaven? He's residing here on the earth with us and in us, wanting, desiring to work through us, trying to help us. Did you know that? Did you know God's trying to get help to us? He's not off somewhere and we're bugging Him when we need some help, trying to get His attention because He's working on some other things. No, did you know God wants to help us and to minister to us and through us more than we want that? Did you know that? God wants to be functioning on the earth all the time. He wants everybody to see Him. Did you know that? If you read the Bible, you'll see this phrase come up over and over, that they may know that I am the Lord. God wants everybody to know it. And they don't know it just because you tell them. God wants to show Himself. And so that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was written, to talk about ways that the Holy Spirit manifests or shows Himself. Let's begin reading at the 7th verse. We're going to read through verse 11. Let's all read out loud and together. Let's read. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So again, these happen as who wills? As the Holy Spirit wills. In other words, you just can't strain and muster up a manifestation of the Spirit. But I'm going to show you tonight that that doesn't mean that the power of God cannot flow by your initiation. That doesn't mean that we just kick back and be spectators, and if God wanted to do something, He would do it. You don't see that in the Bible. You see, now that doesn't mean that God can't and doesn't initiate things on His own, because He does. The Holy Spirit just does things sometimes when nobody initiated it. But you'll see the vast majority of the time, there's a human being involved that is already working with God and believing God for things to happen. And then, as the Holy Spirit wills, something happens better or more than that person was even believing God for. Those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I like those. I want Him to be manifested all the time. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to be manifested and to manifest Himself in every service. Did you hear what I said? In every service. It's not something that just, well, every couple of months, the Holy Spirit shows up to do something. I believe every time we come together, the Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself. But not only in services, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself through us when we're out on the streets, when we're out at the workplace, in other places, like in the ministry of Jesus. Some of the miracles He did and healings and deliverances and such happened in the synagogue. But so many happened outside of church. Isn't that right? And see, some people get hung up that the church just ought to stop because that's the only place the gifts of the Spirit can happen. Well, that's not true. You need to read the Bible. They happen anywhere. But they happen through people who are believing God and expecting God to move in their lives. And that's who they primarily function through. And sometimes too. Thank God. All right. We're going to talk tonight. We've already talked about six of these. We're going to talk tonight about gifts, these three gifts. Gifts of healings, miracles, and faith. That's the title if you want to jot that down. Gifts of healings, all you boot campers. Write that down before you get in trouble. Gifts of healings, miracles, and faith. Now, these are power gifts. I mean, these get some things done. These are the kind of gifts that really catch people's attention and kind of spread. Big crowds were attracted not only to the ministry of Jesus, but to other apostles' ministries and to many prophets' ministries and evangelists and such of modern day. Many crowds will be attracted to people who stories come out of their meetings that people were healed, delivered, miracles happened. It's like God's way of ringing a bell and calling everybody to the dinner table and saying, come on, dinner is served. Come on and eat. Things are happening. God is showing himself. And let me tell you something. God likes that. He likes to do that. Now, he doesn't like to be made a show. He doesn't like for people to get excited about the show and to make it a show. And some people do that. The power of the Holy Spirit will manifest. And then what they try to do is they try to make it the main event, you know, like, check this out, everybody. And instead of honoring God and being excited that people's lives are being changed, the excitement is the fun of the event. And we lose sight of the fact that God's trying to love people. And when we just try to muster up manifestations and try to muster up things just because we're excited about the spectacular things happening, isn't that cool? There's a person right here, just their life's been changed. We don't say, thank you, Jesus, that person was hurting. We just say, wasn't that cool? Wasn't that cool? It's all about cool. See, like you're in some kind of a magic show or something. And, ooh, that was slick. Now, it's not bad to be excited about the miraculous. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying, Paul tells us, and we're going to get into it next week. I believe we'll close this series next week. And we're going to talk about how the Bible says that we need to pursue these manifestations of the Spirit and walk in love with them. Walk in love with them. Because these are not meant to make a show just to be cool in church. These are always meant for the Holy Spirit and us to direct our attention toward loving people, helping people, and ministering life, blessing, healing, and deliverance to people. Amen. Isn't that right? So sometimes I've seen it over years that if a church sees miraculous things happen and manifestations happen, and they begin to be focused too much on the novelty of it, that you'll notice that people all of a sudden aren't coming anymore. And as spectacular as it is and as neat as it is, all of a sudden people start getting hurt and things are falling apart. And you say, well, wait a minute, God's not showing up for people not to come. God's not showing up for churches and ministries to diminish. What's going on here? Well, how many of you know that's not the Holy Spirit's fault? Is that right? That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That's just us. We get our focus on the wrong thing. And then instead of just ministering the Word, preaching the Word, I've seen some churches just stop preaching the Word because they just want to see something happen. And so they just try to psych everybody up. Come on, come on, come on. They want to see laughter and everything. And that doesn't mean that those things haven't and don't happen by the Holy Spirit. But I'm just saying, we need to keep doing what the Lord said to do. And Jesus went around, he preached the Word, taught the Word wherever he went. Isn't that right? He didn't get so caught up in the healings and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that he didn't open the Word and pull out the scroll and minister and teach the people the Word of God. He did that everywhere he went, constantly. And so, see, we just need to keep things decently and in order. And when the Holy Spirit is manifesting, we all just say, thank God. Come on, let's let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Amen. Now, let's talk first. Well, let me share one thing before we get into these three. Last week, we talked about tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we got all into some things that the Scripture said about it. But I didn't point out, and I want to point out now, that tongues and interpretation of tongues are distinct from all the other gifts in this way, that you won't find these occurrences in the Old Testament. With all the other gifts, you can find throughout the Old Testament in various places. But you don't find Elisha giving a tongue and somebody interpreting it. You don't find this in the ministry of Jesus. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. You don't find it until after the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came after Pentecost, and they began there speaking with tongues. And of course, there was not interpretation. It doesn't say anything about interpretation, but it does say that the tongues that they were speaking by the utterance of the Holy Spirit were different languages of people that were visiting Jerusalem at the time. And so that was, to them, miraculous in nature. But you didn't see interpretation right then. But here Paul begins to talk to us and says tongues and interpretation happen with the body and for the benefit of the body. And so that's, some of you may have wondered, why didn't we get any examples in the life of Jesus or in the Old Testament? That's because there aren't any. There aren't any. These two are unique to what we call the church age. Now, let's talk first about gifts of healings. Gifts of healings, and I'm going to give you a definition. By the way, in the original language, the Greek, both gifts and the word healings are both plural. So it's not gift of healing, it's gifts of healings, plural on both accounts. And so the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit's manifestation and saying that one of the ways the Holy Spirit manifests himself is gifts of healings, which gives us the impression that there are a variety of types of healings that are given as gifts. Just this person will get a gift of a healing, this person will get a gift of a different kind of healing. And I believe that there are physical healings, there are emotional healings, there are mental healings, there are demonic deliverance. In fact, sometimes in the ministry of Jesus, a demonic deliverance was called, I paused because the Lord just showed me a situation that we've been praying about. And as soon as I talked about a demonic deliverance, the Lord just showed me that there's a demon involved in this situation. So we're going to stop just praying for this person and start attacking that demon. Thank God. None of your business who it is. Sometimes in the ministry of Jesus, when a demonic deliverance happened, the Bible would say that they were healed. They were healed. In fact, you remember in the 10th chapter of Acts, the 38th verse, it says, Peter was talking about what Jesus preached, and he said the word Jesus preached was how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that right? Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And so a lot of times the Bible would call healing it a healing if it was a demonic deliverance, and that person would be healed. Thank God. Now, let me give you this definition. And this is just a real short definition. Immediate supernatural healings of sicknesses or diseases. Immediate supernatural healings of sicknesses or diseases. I guess we should add in there, or deliverances. Immediate supernatural healings or deliverances of sicknesses, diseases, or demons, because the Bible says those are healings as well. Just change the definition right then. Somebody said, can you do that? I wrote it. You can't change Scripture, but you can change what you wrote. Isn't that right? All right. Immediate supernatural deliverance and healings of sicknesses, diseases, or demons. I like that. Good. Now, I want to talk about this before I actually get into talking about gifts of healings. I want to say that the manifestation of the Spirit, or the gift of the Spirit called gifts of healings, is different than the prayer of faith. And let's look at a couple of verses. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. You remember this is the day that Jesus left the earth. Mark Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Who will cast demons out? We will, yeah. Several different ways you can ask that. We will. Those who believe will. Isn't that right? Notice people who really don't believe won't do this. And somebody said, well, I know Christians that don't do this. Yeah, well, they believe on Jesus, but they don't believe in this. Isn't that right? They don't believe that they have authority in the name of Jesus. But people that get the whole package and understand that we not only receive salvation and forgiveness of sins by faith, but we also receive authority in the name of Jesus to come against the enemy. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Isn't that right? And so we have authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy. And this says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. What does that mean? That means that because of the authority that I, Jesus, have, and having given you my name, as if I'm giving you my signature and checkbook, and I've already stamped my signature on the checkbook. So when you use a check with my signature on it, the bank honors it. Is that right? In my name, you will cast out demons. That means you decide where the check goes. You decide who it's written to. See, this is not the Holy Spirit initiating this. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up or remove serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And then notice this last one. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, notice that these are things that follow those who believe, and they're initiating this. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. But notice it says recover. It doesn't say be instantly healed, does it? Does it say be instantly healed? Sometimes people read this and just assume that that means that it said be instantly healed. And so when they lay hands on people and they're not instantly healed, they feel like their faith didn't work. Or that verse is not always true. And they need to understand it didn't say they'd be instantly healed. It says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we ought to lay hands on people that are sick in faith in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? See, faith in the name of Jesus does deliver people. Sometimes that can happen instantly, but sometimes it's just a recovery that begins right then and the person begins to recover. But faith in Jesus' name produces results. You remember the third chapter of the book of Acts? The lame guy at the gate was asking for alms from Peter and John. Peter said, look at us. And the guy looked and he said, silver and gold don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. He used the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And then later on in the temple, he was walking, leaping, praising God. Whole multitude gathered together in Solomon's porch. And you remember Peter said, what are you looking at us for? As though it was our godliness or us that made this man strong. It was faith in the name of Jesus that made him strong and well. Isn't that right? And he goes on to say, yes, the faith. Yes, the faith. So he clarified, it wasn't just the power of the name, but it was faith in the name. So see, you can have the name of Jesus, which you do if you're a Christian, but if you don't believe that you have the right to use that name against the work of the enemy and against sicknesses and disease, then you won't stand up and do it. And you'll just pray, if you do pray, a little mealy-mouth prayer. Just, Lord, we just ask you right now, Lord, that Lord, you just see, Lord, this situation. And Lord, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's just no confidence whatsoever that God's listening. I mean, we're just being nice. And Lord, we know that you love this person. And it's all, Lord, 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 you can do this. And Lord, you can do it. But there's no doing what Peter did. Silver and gold and honey. But what I do have, I got something in the name of Jesus. See, that's what he had. He had faith. And he had the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. See, that's the way Jesus prayed. And that's the way the apostles prayed. And they got good results like that, didn't they? Yes. And we prayed this other way. Lord, we just pray. And we always add the word just. Not that it's sin to do it. It's not wrong. It's not sin. And it's not like God says, I'll use the word just. That's wrong. But let me just tell you why I believe people do that. First of all, it's tradition that's been handed down. We've heard other people use that. Sometimes I hear my children come home and they just pray like that. And I talk to them about it because it's not anything necessarily bad. But you know what it is? It's a paradigm and a belief that says we don't really deserve and we can't really do anything. And so we're letting you know, God, that we're just asking for this one little thing. And maybe if you know that it's just this one little thing, you'll do it. Now, I'm not saying people necessarily think that way, but I believe that's where it came from. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would just, God, and just. And I've heard people pray, Lord, we just ask that you'd heal this lady, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless her in her finances. I thought you were just going to ask that God heal her. Right? See, we just pray traditional prayers. There aren't many people in the body of Christ that really take the word seriously and lay hands. And some people are more concerned about what somebody thinks about them than they have faith in the word. And so when we lay hands on somebody in faith, instead of just saying, Father, your word says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I lay my hands on this person in the name of Jesus and I say, be healed and recover. Right? And some people's minds would say, well, I don't want to say that because then if they don't recover, then I don't look good. And so the way that you're praying is to protect you, not to get them healed. Is that right? See, and that's not ministry. Ministry is not about me. And I'm not depending on my ability to get that person healed anyway. I'm not stepping out on something that I wrote that I wanted to do and the way that I wanted to minister healing. I'm just doing it the way that the Bible says to do it. I'm going by the example of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. See, and so really, we don't really have a right to change how the whole system works. And see, that's not faith. When you're worried about whether or not it happens and letting that control the way that you even pray so that, and some people are artists. I'm talking about mature people are artists at praying and using the word healing and the power of God and everything without ever committing to it. You understand what I'm talking about? Lord, we know you're a powerful God. God, you can do all things, Lord. You're a healing God. And we know, God, you're good. And so we pray right now, Lord, that your will be done. Huh? Isn't that right? That way, see, I didn't commit to anything. But you notice Jesus never prayed like that? You notice the apostles never prayed like that? And you notice the Bible never told you to pray like that. Prayer of faith is a prayer that believes that what you're praying for will happen. Let's see, somebody says, well, it does happen because when you just say, Lord, whatever you want to do, then I'm never wrong. Well, if you're never wrong, then it's not faith. Faith is stepping out into a realm that it doesn't look like it's going to happen that way. Is that right? It's the prayer of faith that we need. See, but this is not manifestation of this is not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit wills. Now, the Holy Spirit does manifest himself in these kinds of situations, though. Many times, when people are stretching their faith all the way out and believing God, many times, right in that situation, the Holy Spirit will manifest something just beyond that person's faith. Do you understand? But I've noticed that people that don't stretch their own faith and believe God rarely, if ever, have a manifestation of the Spirit. Because they're not even doing what Jesus told them to do. To minister, go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Isn't that right? Freely you receive, freely give. You give it. Well, if he said freely you receive, freely give, well, that's not as the Holy Spirit wills. That's as you will. Is that right? Can you see that he's telling you go do it? He's telling you to do it. But the other says it's as the Holy Spirit will. So these are things that as we're ministering, sometimes maybe you're not ministering, but the Holy Spirit will manifest himself with one of these. Now, let's look at one more verse. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Thank God. I believe God wants people to be healed. I'm not saying that everybody is in a position to be healed. But I'm saying I know a lot of people, I believe that a lot of people are in a position to be healed, and we don't initiate prayers of faith for them to be healed. We need to be believing God. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in what? In the name of the Lord. Isn't that what we just read in Mark? Isn't that what Peter and John did? Prayed in Jesus' name? In the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith might save the sick. You never know. What did it say? Don't you love how the Bible doesn't leave the doubt? Because if it did, we couldn't have faith. You know, if we wrote the Bible according to the preaching that generally happens and the teaching and the talk of Christians, we'd read this and just say, and if somebody's sick, just pray for him. And maybe God will encourage him. Maybe God will heal him. But if not, we know that he's got a good purpose. You notice that here it says, if anyone among you is sick, notice it doesn't say, encourage, just encourage them. I tell you what encourages sick people, to get healed. Yes. Is that right? Man, that's encouraging when you get healed. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, you know what's funny is, you know, you teach this, I teach this, and people will look at you and walk out and say, oh yeah, he's one of those. He's one of those guys that say, oh yeah, just pray for people, lay hands on them, they'll be healed. As if I wrote that. It's ridiculous, isn't it? As if I wrote that. And as if I have the right to read this to you and to preach something that it doesn't say. Hey, I'm just the paper boy. You understand? I can't change the headlines. Even if I don't believe it, I have no right to change what it says. I just deliver the paper. You understand? Is that right? You're just the paper boy. We're called to preach the word, not our opinion, not our experience. And the Bible says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer, listen, it didn't say, and the prayer would save him. It said the prayer of faith. How many of you know there's a difference? Is that right? Oh, a lot of prayers going around. But notice the Bible's real clear. The prayer of faith. The prayer that believes. Not, Lord, we just pray right now, God, you know what's going on in this person's life. God, they you know they've been serving you a long time. Of course, God needs to know about the person because he doesn't have any clue how long they've been serving. And we give a little, you know, biography of the person in the prayer. And I tell you, I think for a lot of people praying, that's good. Because if they didn't give a biography in the filler stuff, there wouldn't be a prayer. Is that right? Because you never get to the place where you say, be healed. Never get there. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to mention those things in prayer. It encourages people for them to hear that you recognized that they're in a position to receive. They're a man of God, woman of God. That's not bad. I'd do that. I pray for people like that. That's not bad. But don't replace the prayer of faith with that. You got to get to the punchline and say, so, according to your word, I declare in the name of Jesus, be healed and be whole and stop worrying about whether or not it's going to happen and whether or not people are going to look down on you. Because it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Is that right? And the Lord will raise them up. So somebody said, I heard somebody say, faith. Prayers of faith don't heal anybody. It says the Lord will raise them up. Duh. You know, we know that. Is that right? We know that. But it says here, the prayer of faith will save the sick. In other words, what he's clarifying for us is, there's the electricity and there's the light switch. The prayer of faith is the switch. But the power of God is what actually goes into operation and heals people. Is that right? There's no question about that. But the bottom line is, as powerful as God is, if you can't find the switch, the room's dark. And so here he's clarifying that it's important not just to know that God has power, but to pray a prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And it says his sins will be forgiven as well. So there's a little indication there that possibly the cause for this sickness was sin in his life. He goes on in the next verse and says, confess your trespasses one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. See? So a lot of times we need to get that sin out. And I believe by this man calling for the elders of the church, he was ready to lay it open and open up and get healed. Notice it says, if anyone's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Is that right? Yeah. A lot of times we want to minister healing, somebody sick, and we want to run over there, and we don't let them call. Sometimes they're not ready for us to run over there. They're not right with God. They don't want to see anybody from the church. They don't want to see anybody spiritual. They need to get some things together. It's just interesting that it says, anybody among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. It did say that, didn't it? Let him call. Interesting. But see, these are all things that sometimes we miss. But notice, prayers of faith save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Notice it didn't say that it always happens instantly. It didn't say that it can either. Many times I believe they do happen right on the spot. Thank God. Now, I believe that we need to stretch our faith as far as it can go and do the works that Jesus has called us to do and lay hands on people for them to be healed. I lay hands on people all the time that have needs. And I believe God and I pray prayers of faith in Jesus' name. And I don't stop praying prayers of faith because maybe somebody over here didn't get their healing yet that I prayed for. I'm still believing for them that they'll recover. Don't ever go back on what you prayed for. Just because you prayed for somebody and it's been 2 weeks and nothing has happened, don't say, but they didn't get healed. Because see, the Bible says they will recover. Just keep standing in faith and believing that they will recover. Isn't that right? Because faith is involved there. Now, let's look over at Matthew 8 in talking about gifts of healings. Matthew chapter 8. Don't you love the word? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing. Be cleansed. And what's the next word? Immediately. Immediately. Now, first of all, notice the prayer. How many words are in the prayer? Two. First two are just the answer to the question, right? If you're willing, you can make me clean. I'm willing. Is that right? And then how long is the prayer? Two words. Effective too, wasn't it? So that lets us know by example right there that it doesn't necessarily take more than two words. Right? But notice it says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, in the ministry of Jesus, in the Bible, it about never stops and says, this was the manifestation of the Spirit called, da da da. So what we know is, we know that the Holy Spirit did manifest himself through Jesus because the Bible says that he returned from the Mount of Temptation to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit rested on his life. We know that Acts 10:38, as I quoted before, says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice the Holy Spirit's power working through him. And so we know a lot of these things that happened in the ministry of Jesus were manifestations of the Spirit. And so I believe that generally, not every time, but I believe that generally when these instant things were happening, these are manifestations of the Spirit. Sometimes, do you remember when Jesus would minister to somebody and the Bible says, as they went, things happened. It didn't happen right there on the spot in front of Jesus. But then they went on their journey home, and on the way home, and home could have been miles and miles away. But sometime between the time that Jesus ministered to them and getting home or getting to wherever they were going, whatever they requested happened. Is that right? But many times, right there, on the spot, bam, healing would happen. Gifts of healing, bam, just right there. And of course, there were some times that Jesus ministered to a whole multitude, and the Bible says they all came up, and he just took the time and laid hands on them all. And it says they were all healed. All of them healed, right? I remembered that Jesus ministered to a blind guy, and he prayed for him, and then he asked him, do you see anything? And he said, I see men like trees walking. In other words, it's still fuzzy. And he could see more than he had seen before, but he said it's still fuzzy. That's interesting. This is Jesus we're talking about. And so he laid hands on him again, and then the second time, instead of him asking him, did he see anything, the Bible says, then Jesus made him look up, and he saw everything clearly. I've always thought, that's interesting. That's interesting. The first time he prayed for him, he said, do you see anything? I see men like trees walking. Prayed for him again, and then he made him look up, and he saw everything clearly. I believe that was Jesus' faith in operation there. Because, see, if it was a manifestation of the Spirit, then it wouldn't have been halfway done. You understand? But Jesus is using his faith, and when he saw men like trees walking, then he said, he didn't stop there. Don't you like the relentlessness of people of faith? Just because it didn't happen right away like they thought, they don't back down. And don't assume that God doesn't want it to happen because I didn't see anything. Or didn't see enough right now. And he just stayed right there with it. Went right back after it. And the guy came out completely clear. We would assume 20/20 vision. Amen. Isn't that good? See? But I don't believe that was a manifestation of the Spirit. Because a manifestation of the Spirit, it's a done deal. Done deal. And remember that Jesus was not ministering by his own power. He was ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So in other words, the Holy Spirit ministered when the manifestation of the Spirit happens. It's different than when a human being who doesn't in and of himself have the power but is dependent and reliant on the Holy Spirit working through both my faith and also manifestations as the Holy Spirit wills, that's different. I'm in a different position to minister, though I have some. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I've got something. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got faith. But it's different than what the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit has all available power. And when he goes, bam, it's all there. You understand? It's not limited by his faith. But sometimes what I minister is limited by my faith. Is this making any sense to you? All right. Now, let's look over at... I want to get into the working of miracles, but let me tell you something that just happened Saturday night. In our service Saturday night, we got into prayer groups. And right after the prayer groups, when we sang a song and we were coming out of that, just before we were seated, I believe a word of knowledge came to me, and I said, somebody in here has a knee that is hurting. And God wants to heal that knee. And so I just prayed right there for healing for that knee. And you know, that just happens sometimes, and we'll just go on and don't take the time necessarily to try to find out who is that, who is that. We just move right on, because sometimes that would take a long time to find out who that is, and sometimes people don't want to say anything, and I don't know if it's me, you know. But I got an email this week from a guy in our church, good member of our church, works with us in the kids department, named Mike. And Mike said, I just had to tell you what happened. I was there Saturday night. He said, and when we got into the prayer groups, my knee was hurting so bad. He said, that was my prayer request. He said, I told the group, would you pray for my knee? He said, so after the groups were done, and you said, there's somebody here that has their knee is hurting, he said, our whole group knew, because I just told them. He said, my wife looked at me, and he said, and I just said, praise God, that's me. And so he said, when you prayed, I just received my healing by faith in Jesus' name. He said, then when we sat down, as we continued on in the service, he said, my knee got really hot. He said, and I felt my knee really hot. And he said, I told my wife, my knee is really hot. He said, and so he started moving it, and he was showing her, look, I can move it. Look, look, it's not stiff. Look, I can move it. And he was showing her. And he said, by the time the service got done, the heat was gone. He stood up. He walked right out. Absolutely no pain. All the pain was gone. It was completely healed. Amen. Thank God. Isn't that right? And so that just happened Saturday night in the service. Well, I believe that was a combination of word of knowledge, because he didn't tell me anything about his knee. And I like the fact that he told the group, so that all the group knew. He just told us about his knee. And I love the fact that when he walked out the door of that service, it was completely healed. See, thank God. See, I believe that's the Holy Spirit in manifestation. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to be in manifestation in our prayer circles when we have them. Don't you? And so somebody says, well, what do we do about that? You stretch your faith and believe God and believe the promises and pray prayers of faith. Give it all you've got. And then as the Holy Spirit wills, if He wants to manifest Himself, that's wonderful. But that doesn't keep us from believing for that person's healing and full recovery. Thank God. All right, let's talk about the working of miracles. Here's a definition. A supernatural occurrence against natural laws and processes. A supernatural occurrence against natural laws and processes. Some people wonder, what's the difference between gifts of healings and working of miracles? Well, say if you got somebody that they smash their thumb with a hammer. And you lay hands and pray for that thumb, and that thumb recovers much faster than a normal healing of that thumb. In other words, if their thumb is black and blue and you can see the nail starting to come off, and you lay hands on it, and the nail doesn't come off, and the black and blueness goes away, and that part that looked like it was coming off, that was separated, joined back together, and the thing's completely well, you know, well, that's healing right there. Isn't that right? And especially if that happened right before your eyes. Is that true? Daryl, give me a thumbs up. See Daryl right there? Daryl's missing a thumb. If you lay hand on Daryl's hand and you see a good thumb there, that's a working of miracles. Do you understand? There's no thumb to heal. It's against natural laws. It didn't get better. It got there. It got replaced. Amen. It's against natural laws. But of course, working of miracles goes beyond just physical things. There are other things regarding the working of miracles. Like, for example, you remember when Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding and they ran out of wine. Well, he told them, go fill up these water pots with water, and they did. And he said, take some of that and give it to the master. And so they did, and of course it turned into wine. Well, that's not healing. The water wasn't sick. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Amen. That's a miracle. How many of you know when God told Moses to stretch out his hand over the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted, that's a miracle. It's not a healing, it's a miracle. And these happen all over the Bible. All over the Bible. Miracles happening. Let's look at one, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Of course, just a few months ago, we all read this. All of us that are reading the complete reading. But all of us at the Rock read our Bible every day. Isn't that right? At least that New Testament portion. I did say 2 Kings, didn't I? 2 Kings chapter 6. And let's come down to the fifth verse. Hold on, I lost my place. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So you can see, this is not a real wealthy person. And he's out there doing hard labor, working hard. He borrowed an axe from somebody. And while he was swinging, the axe head came dislodged from the handle and it flew out into the water, the lake or the pond or whatever it was. And he began to cry out because he said, now I'm in big trouble. I mean, that was money to him that he didn't have to pay back. So he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. This is Elisha. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. The axe head came from the bottom and floated on the top. What's that called? That's a miracle. Isn't that right? That's a miracle that happened. So see, next time you drop something in the water, some of you golfers. Just lay your club out there and see if the ball comes up. Thank God. But you know what I like about this story? Not only was it a miracle that happened and it helped this guy out, but this was a financial miracle. It was a borrowed axe head. He was in debt. And he could just hand the axe back, but without the axe head, he couldn't. Now he's got to buy a new one for his lender. But thank God the debt was provided for right then. Isn't that right? Thank God. See? What does that mean? That means that God can and does perform miracles for people that are in debt. When they call out and say, God, I borrowed some things and I don't have it to repay. And how many of you know that sometimes a manifestation of the Spirit is supernatural finances? Do you believe that? These are not just physical things. These are for a whole life. The Holy Spirit manifests Himself for people's whole lives. But again, let me just encourage you that my personal experience is that the manifestations of the Spirit happen more for people that are already stretching their faith out on the promises of God than for people just kicking back to see what God wants to do. Those people very rarely see the power of God in operation in their lives. Thank God. All right, did I give you a definition yet? Supernatural occurrence of natural laws and processes. Now, let's go on to this last one before we run out of time, and it's the gift of faith. Faith. Here's the definition. Faith is a sudden supernatural confidence of God's activity in a particular situation. A sudden supernatural confidence of God's activity in a particular situation. In other words, this is not the same as you just believing Jesus is Lord and is raised from the dead and being saved. This is not the same as you meditating on the promises of God and building your faith up in God's healing or God's provision or God's love for you, God's forgiveness for you. We need to do that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. This is not talking about faith the faith that came by hearing, that's your faith. This is a supernatural manifestation of God's faith that comes into you. And in that situation, you don't believe at your level of faith. You're believing at God's level of faith. Thank God. I believe one of the examples in the ministry of Jesus was when he sent the disciples across the lake in a boat and he went up to pray. But then what did he do after he got done praying? Huh? He began to walk on what? On the water. Now, think about that now. He sent them in the boat. So either he's going to walk all around the lake, which let me tell you something, that's not what you want to do because I've been there. Or you're going to wait until somebody comes back to get you. But not Jesus. Now listen. He, and we didn't have evidence that, you know, he'd done this before. How many of you believe that he had styrofoam shoes? Huh? Well, you know, he was a carpenter, so he might have made some shoes out of balsa wood, you know, and they just floated real good. No, I don't think so. What happened? All of a sudden, he had this confidence and faith that he could just walk right out there to the boat. Right? It doesn't give us any indication that he just did that all the time. Did it? Or could even could. It didn't say. It just says he came walking on the water. Well, even to try, there's something going on inside. Isn't that right? You don't believe it? Well, just fill your bathtub up. Just try it. Safe in there, right? Just step up. See, we don't even think about it. You know why? Because we don't believe the water's going to hold up. I've heard of some people doing that. And I don't think necessarily when you're believing God and stretching your faith that it's a bad thing. I've heard some people say, I'm just going to test it. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think we ought to always expect and believe that God can and wants to do more than we've seen him do so far. Amen? And I heard somebody say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Really? Talk to me about Peter. Is that right? Now, with Peter, we know this. It was his faith. Because he started sinking. And Jesus told him, ah, you little doubter. Didn't he say that? Oh, you of little faith, come here. Why'd you doubt? Well, because like it's water, dude, you know, and like the, you know, it's just, right? But Jesus believed that since I told you to come, my word should supersede natural laws. Is that right? See, that's the power of the Word of God. But we didn't have any evidence that Jesus had the Word of God to tell him to come. All we know is that Jesus had the faith just to walk out there. And he did. Well, I believe, like I said, it doesn't say this is the gift of faith. But I believe that this was something that happened right then. It didn't happen all the time. Jesus didn't walk around on the water all the time. Just showing off. But right at this point, as far as we know, he hadn't heard anything. Anybody preaching on walking on water that built his faith. But he had the confidence to just expect, I'm going to go out there to the boat and just took off walking. Right? That takes supernatural kind of faith. Whew. I like to read and hear the stories about a man named Smith Wigglesworth. You ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Don't let the peculiarity of his name throw you off. This guy was a man of faith. Man of faith. And he seemed to be one among many others that where the gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings flowed on a regular basis in his life. But part of his teaching tells us that we need to stretch our faith as far as it can go first. He told a story of a man that he knew not too far away from his house named Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell was sick to the point of death. And Smith Wigglesworth was out He came home to his house, and he asked where his wife was, and they said, she's down at the Mitchell's house. And so he said, all right, I wonder what's going on down there. And so he put his coat on and took off down there. And when he got inside the house, coming down the stairs was Mrs. Mitchell. And he says, what's going on? And she said, he's gone, he's gone. And so he just passed her by, went right up the stairs where his wife was there in the room with the corpse laying there. And so he said instantly he began to pray. Instantly, just started praying. And he said as he was praying, he realized he came to the end of his faith. He said, I knew I came to the end of my own faith. He said, but I just kept praying. He said, but I realized it's just not there. These are my words, not his. He said, I just didn't have it. He said, I was at the end of my own faith. He said, but as I prayed, he said, all of a sudden, he said, the faith of Jesus laid hold of me. He said, now my wife, she was always concerned that I was going to go too far. And so he said, as soon as I went in and started to pray, she grabbed me and said, don't, Dad. Can't you see he's dead? Don't. And he said, but I just kept praying. And he said, then the faith hit me. He said, it was the faith of Jesus. That's the way he described it. The faith of Jesus hit me. And he said this. He said, when the gift of faith is in operation, he said, you, the person that is God is working through, working the gift of faith through, he said, you know what's going to happen. This is what the way he described it. And the reason why I'm telling you the way he described it is because I haven't had this happen on a regular basis in me as much as somebody like Smith Wigglesworth and some of these men that, man, just flowed. But he said, when the gift of faith goes into operation, you know what's going to happen. You're, even though the guy's laying there dead, he said, I already knew. He said, I already knew. And he said, no doubt. In fact, the way he described it, it helped me to understand that when the gift of faith manifests in you, there's not you don't even consider that it couldn't happen. The thought's not even going through your mind that this may not happen. It's like you wake your friend up in the morning. You don't even think that they're not going to get up. All you're doing is waking them up. He said, you already know what's going to happen, and there's like no concern that it might not happen. He said, gift of faith. Now, some people misunderstand this, gift of faith, and I believe it's a watering down, not intentionally, but a lot of times they'll see a person who has built their faith in the Word of God, on the promises of God, that are praying for people to be healed and people are recovering, and they'll say, man, you just got the gift of faith. No, I don't believe that. I believe that person has been hearing the Word and meditating on the Word and has built their faith up to where, yes, they have a higher faith level of ministering to people. And so it would appear that, well, you have all that faith and the way that you pray over people, you must have the gift of faith. I want us to dissolve that and release that definition and that way of looking at it, because if that's the way you see it, then you don't believe that your faith can be built and that you can begin to minister to the sick and minister to people's problems, because it's as the Holy Spirit wills. And you need to understand you can and you should build your faith, meditate on the promises, believe God for your healing, other people's healing and deliverance and such, but also be available and ready for the Holy Spirit to kick in. And Smith Wigglesworth said in this particular situation, he said he knew he needed the Holy Spirit to kick in if this man was going to wake up. And he said, and he did. And this faith came on him. And he said, and when that faith came on him, he just started yelling out, he lives! He lives! He lives! He's just in the room yelling, he lives! The guy woke up. Didn't even pray for him. You hear what I'm saying? He didn't even pray for him. He just got so excited that he lives that he just started yelling it. You see what I mean? There was just a confidence. And the manifestation, the faith that came, bam, Man, it just shocked that guy like paddles. Bam! Knocked that guy right to life. Amen. Now, Smith Wigglesworth tells another story about a dead woman that he dragged off the bed. Stood her up in the corner of the room. And he said he knew she was dead. And he started yelling, "Walk! In the name of Jesus, walk!" Well, later on, the lady gives her testimony. And you might conclude that she was indeed raised from the dead, because she was, and said that the way she described it, she said, "I was in glory." She said, "I saw multitudes of people." She said, "And the face of Jesus lit the place." She said, "But Jesus didn't say a word to me. He just pointed." And she said, "I knew I had to go back." And she said, "The next thing I remember, there was this man yelling in my face, 'Walk! In the name of Jesus, walk!'" And so she said, "So I walked." Now that takes some faith to drag somebody dead off the bed. Is that right? Thank God. Thank God. I believe we should have so much confidence in the promises of God that we're willing to step out and to minister in faith to people. But I also thank God for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that when we get to the end and we're stretching as far as we can go, and it's just not there today. How many of you know that's true? Sometimes it's just not there. And you're giving it all you got, but it just ain't happening. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit kicks in. And it all, when he kicks in, let me tell you, he's always got enough. He's always got a full tank. Thank God. Now, let me close with this. Smith Wigglesworth said that, in fact, turn to Matthew 12. We'll close with this scripture. He said, when the gift of faith is in operation, the person knows in advance what's going to happen. And he gives this example from Matthew chapter 12 in the ministry of Jesus. I pulled this from what Smith Wigglesworth taught. Matthew chapter 12, come down to verse 9. He said, because you know what's going to happen already, then you don't mind calling attention to it so that it can be used for the glory of God. Verse 9, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said, what man is there among you who has one sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it? Of how much more value is a man than sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? So he begins to talk to them about this, asking them questions. Didn't take the man off and minister to him privately. Didn't just do it. He got into a conversation about this with them. And then, after he had all their attention conversing about it, then what did he do? He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. And Smith Wigglesworth said, this is the way the gift of faith functions. He said, you already know what's going to happen, and you don't have any problem drawing people's attention to it because you're convinced. You know what's going to happen in advance. I heard him say, when the gift of faith is in operation, you feel like you can do anything. It's not just that one thing. You feel like anything you did right then, it'll work. You see, you believe in the power of God. But it's usually that there's some kind of a situation right there that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is manifesting the faith in you to get that done. Now again, should we wait for the gift of faith before we minister in faith? No. No. We should lay hands on the sick in faith. These signs will follow those who believe. But we should also be ready for that turbocharge to kick in. Amen. Isn't that good? Thank God. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
And we know it's as He wills, but we want to let you know, God, we will. We're willing, God. We're willing for Him to manifest Himself through us. Praise the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus.